Right. Welcome to class 8. So we're going to do this pranayama again, triangle breathing. So right elbow on your left palm and start with your ring finger on the left nostril. Breathe in through the right, 4, deep into your belly. Hold and drop your head. Out your left, slowly, for 4 counts, in through the left, hold and drop your head, out through the right, and continue. You can slow the breath down a little bit if you want. Make sure you breathe into your belly. Okay, finish up. So everybody, let's take a deep breath in and we're gonna chant together. Deep breath in. Deep breath in. So just to talk about real quick about the pranayama. The pranayama settles the winds in the body. We call them winds. It's really, you might know it as prana. There are five different pranic energies in the body. And so the pranayama stills these wind, we call them winds or pranic energies. And also when you drop your head like this, it stimulates the vagus nerve, which also has a calming effect on it's a parasympathetic nervous system. Stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, and so it has a calming effect. And also, I often do the Wim Hof breathing. Does anybody know Wim Hof? So I'm a huge fan of his breathing. I don't do his other things, I just do the breathing, but I do that almost daily, and it is a fantastic way to start your meditation. So I recommend it if you, it's more intense breathing than this triangle breathing that we just did. But anyway, you could do, or not at all, whatever you want. But it's helpful for me, either of those.
The one where you hold your breath as long as you can after you've done a certain...
So
lead up to that.
So you do the way he teaches it is you do 30 like 30, and then when you're the last one, you hold out, you breathe out, and then you hold it out for as long as you can. And then when you can't hold it in, you can't hold it out anymore, then you breathe in and you hold for 20 seconds, and then you let it go. And then you start another round. Mm-hmm. And he teaches it, you do that 3 times mm-hmm. for 30 breaths. Sometimes I do 40 or 50 or 60 breaths or 4 or 5 times. Just depends on, you know. If you're just starting out doing that, it can be really intense. So just take it slow. It can be very intense. You can also get visuals from it that are pretty fascinating. So that's the breathing, and the chanting is also is our vagus nerve goes around the voice box and around, goes down here. So when you chant, it stimulates your vagus nerve, and it also, that's part of why we chant. The other part is we're establishing a common resonance. And so it kind of, in my experience, it helps us get on the same page. You know what I mean? It's the same level kind of resonating together. And so I want to just start with a meditation, and we'll just do, fairly quick meditation, then we'll go into Q&A and talk about your practice. So just make sure your spine is straight and you're comfortable. And close your eyes. Just put your body in a way where you won't have to attend to it for the next 20 minutes. And Take a deep breath in into the belly. Let out any tension that's in the body. Okay, and settle in and feel your eyes. Pay attention to the area around your eyes. And your cheeks. And jaw. Feel the top of your head and your forehead. Feel the sides of your head, ears, back of your head. Feel your chin and your neck. Feel your shoulders and release any tension in the shoulders. Feel your upper arms, elbows, forearms. Feel your wrists, hands, fingers. Feel your chest, solar plexus, abdomen. And let go of any tension there. Upper back. Let go of any tension in your upper back. And lower back. Feel your pelvis area. Upper legs. Knees. Lower legs and calves. Feel your ankles. Feet. Toes. Feel your whole body at once. Give about a quarter of your attention to the breath and the belly. while continuing to feel the whole body at once. Then notice that you are aware of the body. So then focus your attention on the one who is aware. Who is the one who is aware? This is what we call awareness of the awareness. We are aware of just awareness. Awareness being aware of itself. Awareness that is awake to itself. And now go back to being aware of the body. Feel the wholeness of the body as a complete thing, one thing. Feel the perfection of it, that it is complete. And then go back again to focusing on the self, the awareness, only the awareness, which is the self. Yourself. And let the mind become more and more still and quiet. And keep your focus on the self. You can say, I am. To yourself. And if you hear any sounds, just notice that and then go back to being aware of awareness itself. And if you're not finding the awareness, that's okay too. You can just follow the breath in the belly. Just stay with the awareness. It's a very alert state. And a very clear state. That has no thoughts. And if thoughts come in, that's perfectly fine. Just let them come. If sensations come up, sounds, smells, that's fine too. Just let everything happen. Be open to whatever happens. Anything that grabs the attention, that grabs the awareness, just let it be what it is. Don't try to push it away. And then gently go back to the awareness itself. Awareness of the self. Sometimes we have pain in the body, and that's fine. If you can't maintain awareness of the awareness, then you can go into that pain, just feel it, become aware of it. Just merge with that sensation in the body. And let it dissipate if it wants to. And then go back to the awareness itself. It's a state of freedom. You can just be free to feel you can let everything go and just be aware. And then think about someone who might need some compassion. And send them some light. From your chest, send them beams of light and love. It could be a group of people, or it could be animals or other beings. And do it without them knowing. Just send them light. Slowly wiggle your fingers and toes. And very slowly open your eyes, come back into the room. Take your time. So, I had a couple things I wanted to say tonight, but first I want to start out by talking about your individual practices, because that's why we're here, so you can develop your path or your practice of sitting meditation or meditation that's not sitting. So let's start with that, and yeah, so I'm all ears. If you have any questions, if you just want to talk about what you're doing. The thing that I wanted to encourage is that you find your style or your method and you stick with it. And you don't go from one to another, as we have been doing. I've been doing that because I want to show you different ways. But to really deepen into your practice, you need, I believe, my experience, you need to find one thing and stick with it for at least 3 months, and then if it doesn't seem to be working, then you switch to it. You can adjust it, and you can adjust as you go also, but to radically change your practice from day to day, I don't recommend. So that's it. So does anyone want to talk about their practice? Fran, you
want
to talk
about it? Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about mine, because I think with my long connection with yoga, I tend to always go to the breath.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize that what I've been doing for years, which is breathing for different pranayama, but also sometimes just breathing into the belly, because you know, like for example just now this evening, as soon as you start saying different things, I just fall into dullness, especially in the evening. I'm just away, I'm just like, I'm like falling asleep as I'm sitting up.
Okay.
So then I use a simple technique just to bring me back, you know, first into the body, just with the belly on the hand on the belly.
Mm-hmm.
Just to bring me back. But I realized that, you know, just doing the deep breathing in the belly, it's not really taking me to the next level, which is why I've started these classes. So I'm kind of ready for a shift.
Okay.
You know, to integrate something that we've been learning. But at this stage, I'm still with the breathing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can I ask you a question? Do you eat dinner before you come here to this class?
No.
So you, okay.
It's just my energy in the evening, generally. So I need to, I mean, when I'm in the class, I'm always going to, I don't want to say always, but generally probably going to fall into dullness. But I probably need to shift my daily practice to the morning.
Okay.
Great help at home.
Yeah, okay.
Which I'm also not very good at. So consistency would be better.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I find it hard to move away just from the breath, I think, because it's been so sort of ingrained in me.
I see,
just
okay.
Go with the breath and stay with the breath.
Yeah. So why do you feel the need to change it then?
Maybe I want to, it's a good question, maybe take my practice to the next level, because it's
okay.
Still very like body based.
Oh, okay.
Even like with the hand on the belly.
I see.
I think I'm ready for something else. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, it's good. I mean, I really like what I do, and it really calms the mind, and it's very beneficial. But
okay.
To add an extra layer, I could continue with the breathing, and then after a certain amount of time, perhaps move on to one of the other practices.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Anybody else? Barbara.
Well, I started. I was thinking the other day, why did I start doing this? Well, yes, I definitely need it, and I know I need it, and I've been managing to find a space which I thought there wasn't that space before, but there is that space, you know, if I have a little bit of time. Now I don't go on to, I'm going to distract myself with something, which is what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to focus on myself and take this time as much as possible. But that practice, which I'm happy because I've been managing that, and that's a big shift for me. I've got no idea in what stage I am on meditation, if it's much in the body. All I know is that doing this, it makes me go slower in my days, in my being with people, in the way I seek relationships and I connect with anything and anyone, even with myself. So it has been really beneficial. The thing is that I have that also. It comes the end of the day and my energy just goes. And if I meditate at the end of the day, I fall asleep most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to actually like it, honestly, because it was to be a way for me to. But then I also have insomnia for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up in the middle of the night, and many times I started doing the meditation instead of going in my loops.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if this is a good thing, if it's good to attach the insomnia time with meditating. All I know is that it has been giving a huge benefit to me, because I don't wake up anymore overwhelmed. Like I used to. I'm tired. I did have that insomnia. I was awake for those hours in the night. Then I fell asleep again after a couple of hours or something. But I'm really trying not to engage into the plans, lists, worries. And that to me is huge.
Great.
And so I wake up in the morning and I know I'm tired because I didn't sleep all the hours I needed to sleep. But I'm not feeling... My brain is overwhelmed, you know, like I cannot deal with anything else. I'm not feeling like that anymore. And that to me is great. If I sleep and if I don't have insomnia, I can handle doing meditation. But normally it's in the mornings, like in the weekends, when I can, you know, give myself the time to stay in bed and not to have to wake up and start doing things.
Yeah.
I love to do it because I am rested. I don't even feel like I need to relax or breathe much. You know, I'm focusing on my breathing, obviously, but I don't do the big breathing. Maybe I should, because I feel relaxed and I feel alert because I'm waking up. It feels perfect. My body is really relaxed and my mind is sharp.
Yeah.
So this is when, for me, is the best to do meditation. But I cannot do it every day. I do it on Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays.
Right.
If I can. And I've been doing more in at night also when I wake up, because I still wake up. And,
yeah. Great. Sounds good.
So I'm using it as a tool, basically, when I need, as I need, you know.
Yeah.
Not really making a routine of it.
I see, you know? Right, yeah.
But
okay.
I'm okay.
Great, okay, excellent. If you feel like you want to do, if you want to sit at night that you can't, you can always just do eyes wide open. That's what I do when I'm wide open. Oops. Yeah, so
when I'm having the insomnia, to open my eyes instead of having them closed, is that what you're saying?
No. Ah. If you have insomnia and you can meditate, then perfect.
Yeah, because I wake up as if it was 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
I wake up at 3 or 4, like,
bling, yeah, I do the same. I do the same, yeah. You can just sit and, or I just lie in bed and meditate when I do that. And it's great.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I think it's great. But if you want to meditate at night and you're feeling tired or dull, you can just eyes wide open and pay attention to the breath or something that you can focus on that's obvious. So this is the most obvious thing. With eyes wide open and just do that. It's great.
What about to a candle? Do you think it's useful?
It can be. I don't recommend meditating on external things because it gets us into the habit of looking externally for, we're actually trying to go inside. We're not trying to find something external. So this makes a connection with something that is external to us. And I mean, I don't know. Some people do it. None of my teachers have ever recommended it, and I've never done it. You can also, you know, you can hypnotize yourself that way and fall into dullness the same as you, as if you were doing something else. So, so anyway.
But I find it really hard to go be aware of the thoughts or not to engage in thoughts when I have my eyes open.
So you'll get used.
I'm gonna go like, oh, I need to tidy that. Oh, my God, I'm looking at that. Oh, yeah. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And if I'm outside, it's gonna be, oh, so beautiful. Look at that. Oh, the birds. I'm going to engage. I know it.
You probably will at the beginning, but you'll get used to it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like meditating with your eyes closed. You get used to it after. If you're just starting out, you're like, your mind is going crazy. So you're just not used to containing your energy. Because when we see, like we were talking about before, when you look through your eyes, we're accustomed to leaking out. We want to go to whatever it is we're looking at, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is just to be aware of that and then just stay contained in the body and then. And then it's exactly the same as when your eyes are closed, except you have a picture in front of you, you know. And in a lot of traditions, like in Zen traditions, they teach you to find a spot on the floor.
Wow.
It's about 5 or 6 feet in front of you. Yeah. And then you have a peripheral vision of, you know, you engage your peripheral vision as well. And then it's maybe easier than going like straight ahead with your eyes wide open because you're not really looking at anything. You're just looking at a spot on the floor versus like everything is coming in like that. So you can do that too. So what they teach in some traditions is the more dull you feel or sleep, the more you go look up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not super sleepy, then you could look right, you know, you could look just at the floor right here, and just lower your eyes a little bit, but you're not closing them, so it gives you a little bit more of a lift. Mm-hmm. So you can gauge, depending on how sleepy you are, as to how much. But if you really wanted to, you could get used to just doing like this, and it's fantastic. It's really good to do it like this, because you're getting used to not leaking out your energy, you know.
Yeah.
Because we're doing that all day long, we're leaking our energy out all day long, you know.
Actually, that's what should be done, isn't it? To be in that state when you are awake and when you
exactly
are,
exactly yeah. Be awake when you're awake.
Yeah.
Be awake when you're asleep. Awake asleep. Yeah, something
just
like that.
Imagine how funny it would be if everyone was going around looking like that all the time.
Yeah. So, let's see. What else was I going to say about that? In the Soto Zen tradition, they stare at a wall.
Mm-hmm.
They sit against the wall like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super boring and weird, you know? But it has profound effects. I can say personally, it has very profound effects. If you do that for a week, like every day, you know? I did a retreat for like 8 days. It was...
Mm-hmm.
It was profound. It was incredible, you know, just staring at a wall.
Mm. Would you tend to want to find a little tiny speck or dirty mark, or is it just really purely clean, blank wall?
I did find little specks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. You find little things to look at, and then you're like, oh, I'm looking at a thing, a speck, like, damn it, like, you know. It comes up, you know, you just like,
okay.
You
my house
watch
is straw bale house, so it's
right.
Probably, I'm sure I'm gonna find shit.
Right.
Because I already
yeah.
When I look at my walls.
Right, you're gonna find little faces in there or something.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. But yeah, you just become aware of what's happening in your mind, whatever it is, you know. So
or a blank sheet. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You could do that. Yeah. So anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, I have to confess that I didn't meditate since a week ago.
Okay, that's fine.
But I hope I do.
Okay.
Before next week.
Okay. Did you do have a practice before this class?
No, I used to meditate with someone. That's kind of, I never did it before, really. And he taught me a few kind of tools inside, you know, like stuff to focus on. So that's what I did.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed that. And that's, you know, since I stopped doing that with that person, I kind of dropped it. But like I said last week, I really liked how I felt after.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made me want to come here and kind of pick it up again.
Okay.
On my own.
Okay. Great. And do you have an idea of what you would do when you're sitting?
What I was doing? Yeah. Well,
are you doing the same thing that you were doing before?
Mm-hmm. No, it's very different now, what you're showing.
Okay. Okay.
Very, well, what he told me would be to having these sounds, you know, a sound of opening, a sound of maintaining, a sound of closing, and a sound of maintaining, and focusing on those sounds. And then he said, you know, that's what how I started, focusing on those sounds and feeling of opening, keeping, and closing, and keeping.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, staying like that for a while. And then after a few weeks, I was doing that along the shackles. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
And
good.
It did, yeah. I felt very peaceful, and then after a while, I could, you know, I would just sit there and just, I didn't really have, my mind wouldn't stray very much.
Yeah, okay. Great.
So that's what I did, but I'm enjoying, you know, getting to know other things.
Okay.
Like, because you were saying you should stick with the one thing, and that's the only thing I did. So now this is kind of broadening my my knowledge and the things I can possibly do.
Okay. Great. Excellent. Okay. Michael. Anything
to
say?
Well, I'm still meditating today and tomorrow in the week, but yeah, I do it just a bit. But what I especially felt just now as well, that I already sometimes I lose everything that's good. So
yeah.
Now I was also somewhere that my whole body feels kind of locked, especially my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just somewhere, I don't know, that's good. And I love to hang in that and just be, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
That's a really, I know that feeling and it's getting back, so I'm really...
Oh, great, okay.
It's really great that I know already
Something.
It's a bit restless still, because my life is very restless at the moment, but...
Yeah, okay.
Still, I love it, it's like...
Cool, all right.
Yeah. So
great.
It's going well.
Okay. Excellent.
As you know, I'm still going through the previous lessons.
Okay, all right, sure. Sure, okay, great. All right. So, one thing I wanted to talk about is beliefs, and especially beliefs around our practice, but also existential beliefs that we have. For me, it's been really helpful to address those and actually find out what they are, because I think I didn't really know. At one point, I didn't really know what my core beliefs are. And in the same way that you can release emotions, we talked about before about the Sedona method for releasing emotions. It's really, really good for processing and releasing emotions that get in the way of our practice and that are unnecessary, really, that we can let go of.
Sedona, you said?
Sedona method.
It's really impressive.
Yeah, it is, right. Yeah, it is. It's works very, it's fast and easy if you learn it, but you have to learn it, you know, you have to really learn it. But it makes releasing emotions very, it's just like instant. So then we can, if we use, put this into practice, then we can become more aware of the emotions and how emotions are driving us a lot of the time. They're kind of controlling our actions a lot of the time, right? So if we become aware of this, then we can release the emotion, and then instead of being driven by the emotion, we can tap into our intuition and follow that. Follow the flow, or go into the flow instead of reacting to some, whatever it is, grief, anger, apathy, fear, lust, pride. So, so there's that, and then there's beliefs, and you can actually process or discover your beliefs and release them if you want to, in a very similar way. So the way I do it is if I'm about to sit and do my practice and I don't really feel like doing it, then I'll go. I'll say something like, I'll just state the obvious, like, I don't want to practice today. Like, I have a lot of stuff to do, you know, I don't have time. I don't want to practice. And then there's an emotion that comes with that. Because there's resistance. Because obviously I want to practice, right? Because this is my life, you know? This is like a very important part of my life. So if I'm just one day, I just don't feel like it, and then I'm about to sit down, and then I don't want to do it, then I just go, I don't want to meditate. Instead of trying to suppress the fact that I don't want to meditate and sit down reluctantly to do it, I just say, I don't want to meditate. And then there's an emotion there, and then I can release that emotion, because I know how to release the emotion, because I've studied this method and it works. So it's very simple. And you guys can do it, and it works. So you just say, I don't want to meditate, and then there's an emotion there, and you go into it, and then you feel it, and you can bring up a sense of ownership about it. Like, we can do this in more detail next time, but I'll just tell you how it goes. That you bring up a sense of ownership. Yeah, you know, like, this is my emotion, this is my thing, and then you let it go. You let it be there, and then you just release it and let it go, and it will go. And then you can sit down and meditate, and it's perfectly fine. And then it's like, oh, you're not, there's no more resistance. You just let the resistance go. You just let it dissipate.
The belief you were meaning in the beginning is the one that says, I don't want to do this.
So
I think you were.
Yes,
this is an example of like a thought, a resistance thought. And then after that, or not after that, but beyond that, I can go into my beliefs. So then I can say, whenever I can say, I think I'm the body. I think I am the body. Or I am the body, right? So that brings up an emotion in me, because there's something there that's hidden about that belief. I'm just stating, I'm not even aware, I'm not even sure that I have this belief, but I'm just gonna question it. I'm gonna question this thing, this most basic of assumptions that we have, that we all have, right? We all think we're our body, right? So if we just go to our core assumptions, our core beliefs, and we question them, what happens, you know? So by questioning, I'm just stating it, see what happens. I'm just gonna say it. I think I'm the body, you know? That's a belief, right? It's like one of probably the most fundamental belief that we all have. I am the body. What happens when you say that? Like, what happens in your body when you say that? There's something that you can do it now. You can say it to yourself. Say, I am the body. What happens? Is something there?
I feel it's not true.
Mm. Right, there you go. Okay, right.
Feels a bit small.
Yeah.
So you can just.
You're diminishing yourself.
Sorry?
I thought that's what you were meaning, like that you are diminishing yourself when you say this.
Yeah, or disconnecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, there was like a physical contraction I felt. Like,
yeah,
like,
okay.
A physical feeling in the form of resistance. Like,
right, okay, uh-huh, right, like a, yeah. Like you're stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then when you feel that, you can just release that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do it with the opposite. I'm not my body. Then what does that feel like? You know? What does that feel like? You could do it right now.
Huh? Possibility.
Mm-hmm. Possibility, right.
There's also fear comes up for me.
Right, uh-huh, right. There's also fear, right. Because it's like...
Because you want to grasp the soul.
Right, right, right. And fear of the unknown, too, right? Because we don't know what that really is like. Because we're so... we're so programmed to believe that we're the body. Mm-hmm. So you can do this with anything, any of your beliefs, and it's really will free you up and make your practice go easier, make your life go easier, but your practice will go easier too, and you can go deeper much faster if you do this thing, in my experience.
And you release the belief by using, for example, the Sedona method?
Yeah.
To the belief.
You can use the Sedona method, or you can just stay with whatever it is, stay with it, and just let it dissipate.
Or say neti neti.
Or you can say neti neti. Yeah, exactly. Not this, not that.
Yeah.
Not this, not this. I'm not that.
Yeah, many times, yeah, I have that, because I'm not even aware I'm having the belief.
Right, right.
But I go into this, is no, this is not who I am.
Right.
But I go to the I am.
Yeah.
I am this.
Here, yeah.
The awareness.
Right.
And yeah, it helps. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and as you just said, we're usually not aware of our beliefs.
Yeah.
So we go all day long, we're like believing we're the body. Mm-hmm. Everyone is like that. It's crazy, right? So if we can bring that up, just confront it, maybe just once a day, maybe at the beginning of your day, you could do it just once, and it's like, wow. Like, okay. So everything in my life that I've built is based on this fundamental assumption, which is might not be true.
And it's so. Not, because they are hiding behind so many things. Like many times if you actually see, I'm actually thinking I'm lazy. That's why I don't feel like going to meditate now.
Right.
Or I'm this, or you know, all these assumptions,
yeah,
that you do on yourself.
Exactly, exactly.
That you've been mistreating yourself in, yeah, many ways, and you're not even aware of that.
Yeah,
because
right.
Because you put a stamp on to justify the things you don't want to do or that you want to do.
Right. In the meantime, you're stuck trying to stuff down these emotions that come with the beliefs. Because because the beliefs aren't true, they're uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
They're not true, so they make you feel uneasy. So that's where we get apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride. All of those things come out of these core beliefs. And the one fundamental belief is that I am the body and I'm doing everything I can to try to survive the body. So and yeah, so if you do this once a day, if you really do it, it will change things for you. I guarantee it will change things for you.
I'm already doing it in my head, and it's really funny what comes by already.
Cool. All right. So that's it. Anybody have anything else? Okay. So let's wrap it up. Mm-hmm. And thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you in a week.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Okay.